Today on Deeply Shallow, episode 19.
We're talking 2019 highs and lows and our bucket list for 2020.
What's going on?
I got a vent.
Ooh, start from the beginning. Tell me everything. What were you wearing? Welcome to your new obsession, Deeply Shallow.
In a world where 90% of social media is only 10% of actual life, we're here to chat about the real, relatable, and completely unpostworthy parts of it.
We are bringing out the fun and dysfunctional. We're talking family, relationships, and mental health with an irreverent spin and absolutely no judgment.
We're here with a blunt, sometimes harsh, and occasionally controversial edge that will leave you saying,
"Breach."
Yes.
It's Deeply Shallow, real and unapologetic.
We're all in this together.
Listener discretion advised. Pucker up, Shallow Squad. It is New Year's Eve. Welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you are feeling deep or you're feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host. If he was a holiday character, he would be the tax fairy, Mr. Matt Hanley.
Well, good afternoon.
Hello. Tara, hello, tax fairy.
That's so lame. That is,
okay, for the next show, I'll think of like a superhero name and I'll make it super badass.
You'll make it super bad.
Very manly.
You'll make it super bad. Okay, so do you watch New Year's Eve like Times Square or California? You know, they do, or Las Vegas?
No, I don't watch that.
Really?
No, I mean, if I'm at a party and it's like on in the background, then I mean, sure. But really, the last 10 seconds before the ball drops, that's the only thing I'm interested in.
Yeah. Well, I love it. See, I grew up on it. And what's crazy is when I was a kid, they effectively would redo it, like reshow it every hour. Because so, you know, like we're on Central Time, sure. They're on Eastern Time. So they would just like reshow it.
Okay. So like, you were on a high.
Like for 4 hours.
Several times. Yeah.
Now they have it a little bit better. But like Dick Clark, do you remember Dick Clark doing?
No, I'm not sure who that is.
It'd be like Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. And so he was the one who hosted. Ryan Seacrest now hosts it, I think.
Okay.
But Dick Clark hosted it for years. I mean, a long time. And it was like, but it was, you know, they cram something like a million people in Times Square.
See, to me, that is so crazy.
Which I have done.
You would want to go. You have done that?
Yeah, I've been in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
No, thank you.
It is much more controlled than it looks. Like when you see it on TV, you think, oh my gosh, it's just like a sea of humanity.
Yes.
Well, when you're actually there, they have everybody in like corrals.
Okay.
But they have enough space on all sides that they could drive an ambulance down.
Oh, okay.
In case somebody got in trouble.
Yeah, that's good.
But here is the reason why neither one of us, and I cheated. I did kind of the bougie version of it. But the reason,
shocking.
But people who are doing it, they get there like at 11 in the morning.
Okay.
11 noon. So like lunchtime, they're getting to Times Square.
Okay.
But then they can't leave the corral like to go to the bathroom.
That would be a major problem.
That would
for
be for both of us.
Yeah. Like,
there's no way we could do
no
12
way.
Hours.
I couldn't hold it that long. Yeah. No way.
So like when it hits midnight, those people are gone.
Yeah. They're like, I have got to go to the bathroom.
And
yeah.
If you've ever been to New York, there are no public bathrooms, like zero public bathrooms.
Now, all I'm going to be thinking about when I see the ball drop from now on is how many people are peeing their pants.
You're just like, why does watching this make me have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, exactly. I'm never going to be able to see the actual New Year's Eve again because I'm going to have to go to the bathroom.
So I've actually done New Year's Eve in Times Square. And I've also done New Year's Eve in Sydney Harbor, which is one of the earliest places you can be for New Year's Eve. I did that in college.
I can't think for sure, but what pops in my mind, I think the only cool place I've ever been on New Year's Eve is in Argentina with
that is cool.
Bubba and a couple of friends that we went to undergrad. It was during Jan term.
Yes, that's when I went to Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. But what was so funny was all of the clubs or the bars per se, they were just regular restaurants. And then they turned into these, you know, crazy dance places after. And we ordered some shots. But that's not a thing.
Shots.
There.
Shots.
Yeah, exactly. So they just brought us like these glasses of vodka, like full glasses of vodka. And we were like, bye, everybody. See you in the new year.
Isn't that kind of like the meme that's like, can I order a small glass of tequila? And they're like, a shot? Like, okay, whatever.
Okay,
like,
I mean, I'm not here to write your menu. Yeah, exactly. So what are you doing this year for New Year's Eve?
Well, for New Year's Eve this year, I will actually be in Mexico.
Okay.
So I will be celebrating the new year there.
In style
and trying to relax a little bit in preparation of what will, I'm sure, be very busy 2020. So,
of course.
But as always, before we get into all that.
Right.
We need a mental health check-in, our last mental health check-in for the year.
Yes. Well, the pressure is on.
So as always, we rank our mental health at the beginning of our show from 1 to 10. Tara, where are you today?
I'm good, but I'm a little bit sad because Christmas is over.
I know. That
I'm in mourning.
I kind of figured that.
I love Christmas, but I'm not taking my tree down until the 1st.
So. You really should keep it up until Epiphany. That's the 7th or 8th.
Okay. Sorry, Hubba. I have to keep my tree up till the 7th or 8th in respect for something I've never heard of.
Sorry, you won't be able to. You've never heard of Epiphany?
No.
Okay.
What is it?
It's a religious holiday. But
I mean, of course I've heard of it. I'm respectful of all religious holidays.
So I know Hubba would like to actually be able to see out your, like right now there's like zero natural light in Tara's apartment because the Christmas tree is blocking the entire. So you are, what do you think your number is?
I would say 7.
Yeah.
I'm still good, but I'm sad.
Yeah. This is a tough part because when you do get like to the end of the holidays, I think there is a natural letdown.
Right.
Even if you don't love the holidays, like just being able to see everybody and it's kind of your last like couple of days off work. Like you do Thanksgiving and then you do Christmas and then New Year's. And then it's like,
especially when I'm in a long stretch. So once your year's over, January 1, they don't care what you did in, 2019.
What have you done for me lately?
Exactly. Yeah. So we're back to zero. So, I'm going to go with a 7. What about you? How are you feeling?
You know, I'm probably around a 6, 6.5, just because I so enjoy, even though I don't love Christmas like you do, like just seeing all family and friends and like, all the holiday parties and all that stuff kind of concluding. And so, I think it's natural to have kind of a little letdown here after the Christmas. So
sure. Yeah. All right. Well, as we have said, it is New Year's Eve when y'all are listening to this podcast.
Yep.
And it is our last podcast of 2019.
Wow.
I know. I cannot believe it.
Wow.
So in the spirit of that, we wanted to kind of do our topic around that.
Yeah. So we're going to do kind of a 2019 year in review.
That's right.
Tara, I think anytime you do a year in review, I think that the first thing we should do is start with kind of our highs and lows for 2019 before we start kind of looking to 2020. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, I love that. Let's do
it. Okay. So give me a high and low that you've had this year.
Okay. So what's funny is I guess these kind of go together.
Okay.
This high and low. So I think that the low part was those few months that Hubba was away doing his away rotations.
Sure.
Getting ready to kind of wrap up med school. And first of all, the anxiety leading up to the time he was going to be gone.
Do you think that was actually probably the worst part?
I mean, I do. I think the buildup was unknown. Pretty significant.
Right. Yes. The unknown of what to expect.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's tough.
And then, of course, when he was gone, I mean, just waking up knowing, okay, everything that it needs to be done,
right,
you have to do it.
Right.
There's no like, hey, can you change her diaper or can you pick up dinner or go to the grocery store? Like, no, that's all on me. So that was probably like one of the low points of the year. But the high point was also because of that. So I'm a very independent person, almost to a fault.
Yeah.
Like my my husband sometimes will be like, why are you so worked up about, like, what's happening? Like, why are you? He's like, all I asked you is if you could fold my socks and you're over here packing a bag telling me that you are a woman, hear you roar. Like, so, I mean, almost to a fault. So
let's just say you can go left quickly.
Yes, I can go left quickly, especially if I feel like somebody is trying to put me in some kind of like female stereotype or, you know, something like that.
Right.
And so it was good for me in a sense because I was able to see, yes, I can do everything on my own.
Right.
But I do not want to do everything on my own.
Yes.
And so I don't want to say it made me a little bit softer, but it kind of pushed me into that direction.
Right.
I think.
Maybe like gave you some perspective.
Yes.
Maybe not solve it. Like maybe gave you some perspective.
Right. Yes. It definitely gave me some appreciation that I will walk around sometimes being like, I do everything, but actually I really don't do everything because now I know what it actually looks like.
What it actually is. Yeah.
So a low was him being gone. A high was me kind of appreciating, you know, the help that he is able to give. And I think it was good for me. It was good for our marriage. So I'm going to give that one of my high points.
That's awesome.
What about you? What was one of your highs and one of your lows?
So one of my highs, actually, I'm going to say was turning 40.
Okay.
And I know that like some people, you know, may say, like, why would that be a high?
Right.
But I'm like really proud of what I've achieved in 40 years.
Hell yeah.
And so like when I look back on it and I think of like how far I've come from, you know, and from where I came from to where I am now professionally and, you know, in relationships and those type of things, like I'm really proud of that. And so
absolutely,
I think that turning 40 really was a positive thing for me looking back. And of course, I got to celebrate with all of my favorite people and yes, all those things. So I think that was like a really big high for me.
Right. Sure.
Just to be able to look back and go, you know, and I've never really been a huge, while I loved our episode on aging, like I've never been one to really like quantify like, okay, you know, that a birthday is, you know, is somehow going to change you. But I do think that was a really big high for me.
Sure. Absolutely.
From a low point though, and you recall this like earlier in the year, like I actually got pretty sick.
Yes, you did.
And so like that was probably, this was actually before I turned 40. This is pre-date. But like that was a time that was really tough for me because it started to make me question that, you know, this lasted for several months.
They couldn't figure out what was going on.
And that was kind of like a really, two things came out of that. One is that it kind of not made me question my mortality because I really don't have an issue with mortality.
Sure.
But it did make me realize that my faith, my religious faith was a little bit lacking because I was like, I was just constantly like anxious and I would not like give up that anxiety over that.
Sure.
So that was kind of one of the things that came out of that. I was like, man, like I've got to be more faithful and understanding that like sometimes I don't know what's going on, but it will be okay.
You
know, it will work out. And so that was probably, so turning 40, definitely a high, but really struggling with this kind of mystery illness, which really they never really kind of figured out what exactly it was, but I've been obviously feeling better. So, okay, what about you? Give me another high low.
So when I was making this list earlier, I actually didn't realize this, but both of my highs and lows, the low somehow impacted the high.
I think that's normal. I mean, I think that can certainly correlate.
Which is so interesting now that I'm looking at it on paper. But so I had written down as one of my lows turning 30. but not for the reasons that you would think, but because I turned 30 and it just felt like shit hit the fan immediately following me turning 30. And also when you're 30, or when you're young, not when you're 30, when you're in high school or college and you think about being 30 and you kind of imagine what your life will be like at 30, when you get there and it looks absolutely nothing like that,
what you thought it would,
it's hard to kind of be like, what am I even doing? And I went through definitely a phase where I was like, I'm failing because life shouldn't look like this at 30.
Right. You did have a very tough entrance into 30.
Yes. And then like I broke my knee like 5 seconds into it.
Yes.
And, you know, I was really looking forward to going to Disney with my cheer team last year. Those group of girls are just like, we don't really talk about religion a lot, but I really do believe that God brings certain people together.
Of course.
And I feel like my cheer team last year, that was very much the case. They were just all meant to be together. And so I was really looking forward to going to Disney with them. And then the broken knee, it just threw a huge wrench into it.
Yeah.
But the high that kind of came out of that was when you were on crutches, you find out real quick how out of shape you are. When you were asking one leg to pull your body around, yikes. Yeah. I mean, so when I was on crutches, I was thinking to myself, okay, you have got to kind of get in a healthier position.
Mm-hmm.
Not with my weight, but with food.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have always had a very unhealthy relationship with eating. I either want to eat everything or I'm not eating anything.
Right.
And I guess I never recognized that for what it was. Mm-hmm. And so this year, I actually went and got some help on learning how to control like emotionally outbursting eating.
Right.
And we're actually going to talk about this a little bit more on a future episode. So yes. I'm not going to get into it too much. But kind of getting that under control where I no longer am like, I'm sad. Let me go eat three chili cheese dogs. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's actually a really big deal when you've been a binger, you know, for so long.
Right.
So yeah, so that was definitely one of my high points. What about you? What's another high and low for you?
So probably one of the things that I'm most proud of as far as an accomplishment and one of my highs for 19 was I was able to actually reconcile a couple of friendships that had been pretty damaged, you know, just based on some circumstances or whatever. And
tell me all the dirty details.
No, I'm not going to tell you all the dirty
details. Let's say their names.
No. But the thing is that I was able, through some help with my therapist, of realizing, so I can be a little bit hot-headed at times, and I can be highly emotional, which, you know, we're both very similar in that regard.
Sure.
But sometimes that can lead to, you know, like a negative impact on a friendship. And there were two friendships that I really had missed that, you know, we had kind of gone sideways based on a few things. And this year I was able to like reach out to both of them and say, hey, you know, like I want to get this back on track or whatever. And that's been a really freeing experience to like not be carrying that around of like, these are people that I want to spend time with and that, you know, that we've had great friendships in the past and like something dumb or in the grand scheme of things looks dumb.
Sure.
You know, kind of put us on the wrong track. And so to be able to, you know, kind of get through that and reconcile those was a huge high for me.
Awesome.
So my other low that I'll mention is like, I constantly struggle with parenting.
Okay.
Like it just is always a struggle, it seems like.
Sure.
And I don't know, you know, Shadow Squad, as you're listening out there, like, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I think parenting comes natural to some people. And then I think that it's
a shit show for other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
and maybe that can actually happen to the same person. Like,
absolutely.
Some days it's a shit show. Some days
you're going to knock it out. Yeah. And some days you're going to be like, CPS is about to arrive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is probably like the most humbling part of my life is parenting.
Sure.
You know, you think like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? So that's probably, you know, one of my lows is just like trying to do better with parenting and like not take it so hard on myself about it. Like, it's like, geez, you know, pull your shit together, man. Like, you're responsible for these two children. Like,
I know, right?
You want them to be good, decent people when they get older. Like, you gotta, you know, whatever. But so,
you know, the crazy thing about parenting is it actually is life or death, but you can only survive it if you don't make it life or death.
Right.
That's the only way.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, Tara, I think you will agree that when we kind of sat down to kind of map out our end of year episode, a lot of things were surrounded by the podcast.
Absolutely.
Like as far as highs and lows.
Absolutely.
So I think we would be remiss to not kind of go through some of those.
Right. And it's like, it's weird talking about our podcast on the podcast.
On the podcast.
But I mean, that has definitely been, I think, one of the most unexpected and highest moments of the year. And I mean, without a doubt.
So tell me, kind of give me some of your highs or high and low on the podcast.
Well, one of my first highs about it is because we agreed to just put it all out there. It has made me so much more comfortable with who I am, like in my skin, what I think about things than I think before.
Right.
Which is probably shocking to some people that there was any level of uncomfort.
Any more that could come. Yeah.
Right. But because it's all out there, I feel so free in a way. Like I have nothing, like there's no skeletons in the closet. They're all out and about, you know? So that's one of the highs for me. What about you?
So one of the highs for me is that I agree with you. I am so proud of us for agreeing to do it because as the Shallow Squad is aware, like we're very vulnerable.
Yes.
Like because we do talk about so much.
Right.
And so that has been a real high that we have been able to achieve that. And
sure.
Like, you know, like pull down the barriers, you know, and to, you know, create something out of thin air, you know, for those of you who are new listeners. So we just launched October 1st.
Right.
Which it's crazy that it seems like yesterday, but it also seems like a long time.
Yes.
Ago.
Years and years.
Years and years ago. We think we've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's another high?
So another thing that I have really loved about the podcast, especially going off the fact that we're putting it all out there,
yeah,
is sometimes you know, you put out an episode and you just kind of brace yourself. Yeah. And you're just like, you're like, oh, what's gonna happen? Like, and so I expected to get a little bit of hate, but what I did not expect was to get so much love.
Yeah.
And people who I know really well,
right,
and people I don't know at all,
right,
reaching out and thanking us for talking about different topics. It kind of made me realize that some of the things that we talk about, people don't always have a place to go discuss those,
right?
And so it's been really great. And I actually wanted to read a few that kind of have stuck with me.
I guess it really does make sense. Sometimes people are able to share more with people that they don't know as well.
Right.
Versus someone who they know really, really well, you know, and it's just weird. And that we've had responses from all over the board. Like you said, people
right.
who know us really well, people who don't know us, and vice versa, friends of yours or friends of mine.
Sure.
And the response. But yes, we've gotten some overwhelming love. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
So I'm going to read a couple. This one was really sweet. It was from one of our listeners. It says, "Hey, Tara and Matt, I'm catching up and love your podcast so far. I'm glad you guys talked about marriage counseling, and I've thought about getting my husband to go as well. I think you guys made some great points. I think it will help convince the hubby. Thanks."
Yeah. When you can impact somebody like that, you know, and there's nothing earth shattering about what we're
right,
saying.
Right.
But sometimes it's just acknowledging things that are, you know, to some people maybe they just think of, like we talk about perspective. Sometimes
right.
they may just think about something in a different perspective.
Sure.
And that's really what we're here to do. Like,
or embarrassment, you know,
yeah.
taking
oh
out the embarrassment
yes.
away from something like therapy.
Yes.
I mean, if this person's talking about it on the pod,
yeah.
then I mean, who yes. cares if we go in secret? You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no shame.
Absolutely.
There's no shame in that game. And then I guess my other one is also along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "So totally related to your episode of Share Last Name, Not a Bathroom. It definitely got me in my feels and thinking. I am going through the 7-year itch and my husband recently moved out. Hearing you guys talk about going to therapy made me try to want to convince him." And then there were some other details that you
right.
know are personal. So
right.
I'm not going to read those on the podcast.
Sure.
But and you know why I think maybe those stuck in my head was because I was super nervous to talk about actually going to therapy myself
right.
on the podcast. And now it's like one of the things I'm most proud of doing.
Sure.
I'm most happy I did.
And I think that's one of the things that we try to achieve on this. Obviously, we want to entertain, but we also want to empower people. Like
sure.
we want to empower. And like you said, we want to take away some of the stigmas, whether it's marriage counseling, whether it's failing at parenting, whether whatever those pieces are. That's one of the things that we strive to do here is to make people, you know, one of the things we talk about is this is a judgment-free zone, right? When we're talking about stuff, we are telling on ourselves like long before anybody has an opportunity to, because we want
right.
folks to know this is okay.
Right. This
yeah.
is real. Yeah.
Well, okay. So it has not been all sunshine and rainbows.
It has.
It has not.
It has not been all sunshine and rainbows.
So let me give you let's talk about the level of anxiety. We have been in overdrive.
We have not hit a even pace since October 1st.
It is because like you said, I think we do record and, you know, we'll brace ourselves for whatever. And I think that the anxiety, especially when we first launched,
right.
because we did not know, you know, we really thought
our moms would listen and no one else.
Or that people would just laugh us out of, you know,
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
And so I think the anxiety piece has been probably one of the low parts. But again, like as we kind of have been going through there, thanks to the Shallow Squad.
Yes, absolutely.
That has helped kind of lessen that.
Right.
You know? So you guys really do as much for us as we do, or as we try to do for you guys.
Yeah.
Because you guys give us so much, you know, good feedback. And that's really
good
vibes. Huge.
Yeah. It is so weird and crazy and amazing to see someone like outliving their life wearing like one of our shirts.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
It is so bizarre. But
it's so fun.
I just
yeah.
love it so yeah. much.
So along those lines, like I think that it has really stretched us like as people.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I think it has definitely stretched our friendship both
to the brink.
To the brink. And in the same week, we can have like the highest high and the lowest low,
right.
or
like,
in the same
we can
day.
Be like yelling at each other, like slamming doors. And then I'm texting him, like, "Can you bring me a Starbucks, please?"
But I think that if it was possible, I think our friendship has really grown through this, because I think as we have both tried to encourage the other person,
sure,
and make them, you know, and help with knowing that when we went into this commitment, it was like, okay, here's what we're going to talk about, and here are the things that we want to make sure,
right,
are real and relatable.
And I think us being open to what this podcast has become, you know, has been a little bit of nerve-wracking.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we originally started this to talk about pop culture and
Real Housewives.
Yeah, and TV shows we like. I don't even know how it got to where it did, but I feel
it naturally right, kind of gravitated that way. And so for those of you who may or may not have noticed, you know, depending on how you're listening, like, we actually have redone our description of our show since the beginning, and kind of redone, right, kind of what our intro and kind of what this is, because it has morphed. And that's been really awesome.
And I think it's more genuine this way, because this whole thing started from Matt and I talking on the phone so much.
Yep.
And so that's why in some of our artwork, there are phones,
right,
you know, in the side, because that talking on the phone is really the jumping off point for this entire project.
And it's probably realistically, especially now, mm-hmm, with us not living in the same town, it's 90% of our, well, probably 80% now that we get together to record. But
absolutely,
before, it was probably 90% of our relationship was the phone.
Right. You know, that was, yeah, that was a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be perfectly honest with you guys, us talking to each other on the podcast,
yeah,
is almost identical to us talking on the phone, except way more foul language.
Yes,
on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. We have really curbed the foul. That actually, right, should be like our biggest accomplishment.
That really
the
should
lack
be.
Of profanity.
Yeah.
Every one of our like really close friends that has listened to the podcast, like one of their number one things is like, I'm really amazed y'all don't cuss more.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised. Yeah.
Good job, y'all.
So high five for us.
Yes.
That's there, right, we go. But yeah. Okay. So as great as this year has been,
2019, yes,
it is time to look forward.
2020.
That's right. So, what is your bucket list for 2020?
I have a couple of things on my bucket list. Now, you know, I am a huge Dave Chappelle fan.
Okay.
And I have actually been after the banana about this for a while now.
Sure.
I really want to meet Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
So, I'm going to put that on my bucket list. And that's going to be my stretch bucket list item. Banana.
Make it happen.
I would like to meet Dave Chappelle. I think he would be just like the coolest hang ever.
Yeah, I think he would be awesome.
Okay, what's on, give me something on your personal bucket list.
Mine's kind of lame, but buy a house. It's on my bucket list.
That's not lame. That is super huge.
I mean, I think so, but it's not exactly, you know, super juicy or anything, but it's been a long road. So
it has.
I'm looking forward to putting down some roots.
Right. You guys have been, you know, especially over the last few years,
sure,
in influx with medical school and all that. But the great part is that should be settling down.
Yes.
But we've got a few months to go before,
right,
we kind of know what's going to happen. But then, sure, I think it's important just for the listeners to know that it doesn't matter where Hubba and Tara end up, the podcast will continue.
Right. So for those of you who don't know what, you know, he's talking about, Hubba and I will actually find out on March 20th,
right,
where he is going to do residency.
Right.
It's not, you know, a typical job hunt.
Job
per se.
Hunt. No, it's not.
It's very
not.
Complicated and complex, but pretty much they will let us know on March 20th where we're going
to
be.
Let's just, to make it an easy understanding for the listeners, it is like a draft, like in the NFL.
That's
or the,
exactly
or the Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Except if the players and the teams had to agree on where they were going. That's how, right, that's how I've been able to describe
the
residency application.
Mostly it's about the teams.
Yeah.
But they do take into consideration the players, but not really.
So we'll see. We'll see. But no matter what happens.
Yes, the pod will continue.
The pod
not
will
to
continue.
Worry. Not
yes.
to worry.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so what's another one of your bucket list items?
Well, this is actually already in motion, but, you know, we have talked before, I think I've mentioned before, New York City is like my home away from home.
Sure.
And this year, I will be able to experience that with the oldest. So
we actually
have a trip planned. So I will be able to take him there for the first time. And it's a scary deal because,
sure,
I don't know if he will enjoy it as much as I do.
Right.
But, you know, because he's still fairly young. He'll be 13, I guess, when we go. And so just the fact that he's going to be 13, he's going to let me go with him.
Right.
Because it's kind of a...
He's going to hang with you.
Yeah, he's going to hang. I think it's impressive. But that's kind of my second bucket list item.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. What about you?
All right. So my second one is go on a second honeymoon with Hubba. It is so weird, but we have never gone on any kind of like big vacation, just the two of us, ever.
Okay.
I mean, well, literally never.
What's really funny about that is I'm pretty sure that the banana and I tagged along on your honeymoon because right. It was like
it was like 5 years after we.
Yeah, went. It was just what it was that 2 years ago that we all went.
Yeah.
Like, but that wasn't that your honeymoon trip that someone
it
had given you.
It was our honeymoon trip that we had been gifted at our wedding, but we just did not have time to go until like 5 years later, and so then we're like, yeah, you guys just come along. And they did. And we had a great time.
Oh, we had a great time.
So I really want to try to get, you know, Hubba on some sand, maybe shirtless, a drink in my hand.
Well, that will be fun. That will be fun.
Yeah. So that's my other bucket list.
Awesome.
It'll probably end up being the pool in our neighborhood, but I mean, I'm going to put it on the list.
But some of the neighborhood pools, they have like that walk-in sand entrance.
I'm just going to buy a bag of sand at Target if all else fails. Like you with the hair, go stand over on that sand, baby.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Hit me with another one of yours.
Okay, so my last bucket list item is going to be probably the most challenging of my bucket list items.
Okay. And meet Dave Chappelle is on there, so.
Yes, so to put that in perspective, yes. No, and I think that a lot of people can relate to this, like 2020, I really want to get a handle on my stress level.
Okay.
I mean, like, and I know
that's
not
a great one.
I know that's not sexy and that's not whatever, but like, I got to get a hold of my stress level.
I think if you were to get a handle on it, it would probably be sexy. I think what you're doing right now is what's not sexy.
All right. What is your last bucket list item for 2020?
Okay. My last bucket list one is very immature and super shallow, but I do not care. I want to plan an epic prank on Matt Hanley. The prank to end all pranks. And I want to get it on video. So that will be happening
great.
In 2020.
Great. So I can. So just as I say, I'm trying to get my stress under control. Now I'm going to have the anxiety.
I didn't know you were going to say that, or I would have bumped it up a little bit.
Now I'm going to have the anxiety of wondering when you're going to try to prank.
You never know when I'll strike.
This is true.
All right. And then we also have a couple bucket list items for the podcast.
We sure do.
So the first one is go to a haunted house due to popular request. And I'm already wanting to die. I'm already scared.
Yeah, I already have the feeling in the pit of my stomach. Like.
Let me just tell y'all, it's not going to be some like super great haunted house. Like it's going to be, okay, what elementary schools have a haunted house that I can walk through? It is going to be basic and I'm like, no.
I think that we talked about the one that like requires the 34 page like, waiver.
Yeah.
Y'all, we will not
no,
be there. We have to set everybody needs to get their expectations
low.
Yeah, under
very control. Low.
One story,
reactions will be enough entertainment.
One story. Like we're not doing a multiple story situation. It's gonna be one story, clearly marked exits.
Yes.
Like safe words, the whole thing.
All of it. I'm taking a bodyguard. I'm already scared.
Yes. Okay. So that is our bucket list item number one, which really we did not choose. That was chosen for us.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks a lot, Shell Squad. Do us dirty like that. Oh, gosh. Okay, Matt, tell them the last one.
So our last bucket list item or our second bucket list item for the pod is we are going to do a live podcast this year.
That's right. We are going to do that.
So we are place to be determined, although we're working on a couple of places, but we will obviously keep everybody informed well in advance. But we're going to do a live podcast. That was one of our, honestly, it was one of our goals relatively early on was to be able to do that.
Right.
So
we went to a show and saw how basic it was. And we're like, okay, we can
do this.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is all it is. Count me in.
So we're going to do a live podcast. And like I said, we'll let everybody know kind of what the details are and
absolutely.
All that stuff. But yeah.
And because we want to do all the things to include the Shallow Squad.
Of course.
We also put together a very short.
Yes.
Shallow Squad challenge bucket list.
Yes. Shallow Squad, we are challenging you for 2020.
That's right. And we're making them really hard.
Yes. Really difficult. Tara, what's our first challenge for the Shallow Squad?
Okay, so the first challenge for the Shallow Squad may sound cliche, but I really want all of our listeners to have a moment that they really feel like they were able to do this. And it's, don't be afraid to be yourself.
Right.
People can judge you.
Yes.
They're allowed.
Yeah.
And they will judge you
because they're
bored.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to be who you are. Love yourself. You're doing a great job.
That's right.
That's right. We're all in this together.
We are all in this together.
That's right.
100%.
All right, Matt, what else?
You know, in a similar kind of encouragement, if you've been thinking about taking a risk on something, doing something that you've never, or trying something that you have never done before,
mm-hmm.
we want to encourage you, like, take the risk.
Do it.
The kind of the old saying is, like, you generally don't regret the things you do. You regret the things that you don't.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we want to be encouraging, like, if you've been thinking about doing something, whether it's, you know, changing careers or having a baby or, like, whatever it is that is kind of tugging at you in life, mm-hmm. like, go for it.
And
if you want to write poetry,
it's an epic fail.
Right.
But go for it.
Go for it. That's the thing is you won't know until you try.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the things that we have learned through this process is you just don't know until you try. So take the risk. Take the plunge.
Do it. Speaking of taking the plunge.
Okay.
We have one more announcement for 2020.
Yes. Yes.
And that is that we are bringing to life the Deeply Shallow blog.
Absolutely.
It's going to be on the website.
Yes.
We're starting it in January.
DeeplyShallowPodcast.com.
That's right.
Our first blog post will post on January 1st.
That's right.
And then we'll do weekly. And Tara and I are actually going to rotate. So you'll get to hear from one of us one week and the other. And it's just going to be kind of a continuation of
the show.
Podcast.
Yeah. What we think, anything that we're into that week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun, I think.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of blogs, there are obviously 1 bazillion bloggers out there.
Of course, yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
And some of them are garbage and some of them are great. But we have come across a fashion and lifestyle blogger.
Yeah.
Who we actually love.
Yes, and she's a big supporter of our show as well.
She is, yeah. She's a fan of the show. And her name is Brooke Schulmeister.
Yep.
And her Instagram handle is Brooke, B-R-O-O-K-E underscore Schul, S-C-H-U-L. And the thing we love about her is that she is not one of those bloggers who's like, oh my gosh, y'all, I'm obsessed with this $400 white t-shirt. You have to have it. It's like, okay, delete. That's like the Matt Hanley bloggers
no,
of the world.
Oh my God. Go ahead.
But so anyway, she's super cute. She blogs about things that she decorates her home with or wears. And it's stuff from Target and, you know, places that you actually go.
Yeah.
We just love her. She's about to have a baby. So she's doing this, you know, a series on pregnancy and baby products. And so she's definitely one to check out. She's amazing. And her website is brookschul.com.
Excellent. Okay, Tara, this is your last chance of the year to get your...
Pull out my manila folder.
It's the time of the show that you love.
I hate that.
So what is your final I hate that for 2019?
Well, that feels like a lot more pressure than originally.
Okay, and if you know anything about Tara, she will fold up like a card table with if you apply too much pressure.
Yeah. I'm scared now because mine just seems so average. Seems like such an average complaint to wrap up my entire year.
And the decade. Go ahead.
Oh God. All right. Well, this is stupid, but the thing that I hate is when you pull into a business to try to cut through to get to another business and you can't.
The parking lot
is like enclosed. What kind of planning asshole did that? Oh. I am trying to cut through this gas station to get to Taco Bell. Let me out of here.
So you effectively want the parking lots to be an extenuation of the road?
Yes. Like
you want a parallel road in the parking lot.
The other day, I was trying to pull into Chipotle from Starbucks. And whatever monster designed the parking lot did not... They were next door to each other. I should not have to get back on a busy road
to get to
turn in 5 seconds later to get to the other one. So,
oh my gosh,
I don't know how epic that was for last. I hate that of the decade. But
I think it sums it up perfectly.
I hate that. What about you, Matt Hanley? What epic thing are you hating?
Okay, well, so my epic, I hate that for to end 2019 is in the same vein. It's really just going to be kind of a rant. So, yes. Who still writes checks in 2019 at the grocery store?
Oh, that's annoying.
Okay, so I had this really annoying.
If you are over the age of 75, please turn down this podcast.
Right. So, yeah, well, my mother-in-law actually writes checks at the grocery store, I found out. But so in ranting about this the other day. So I was at the grocery store and there was a gentleman in front of me who had a conveyor belt full of groceries. Fine. Okay. No big deal. The young cashier gets
How
everybody.
How dare he buy all those groceries all those at the grocery store.
And I know like everybody's going like, man, I was at the grocery store. Like, why?
Where were the plethora of assistants?
So he checks out. Little cashier gives him his total. $87, whatever. So he's just standing there. And I was like, this is weird. So finally, after what appeared what was like an awkward amount of time,
sure.
He announces to me and the guy behind him, well, my wife has the money and she went to go look for whatever. Okay. Two things here. One, I think it's very rude to like leave one person at the checkout while you go try to fetch something at a grocery store. I mean,
I think it's super rude too. And I only do it twice a week.
Oh, so anyway, so here she comes, you know, from the back of the store or whatever, but she's not even like fake hustling.
Yeah.
You know how, like when you realize like somebody's waiting on you, like
you're like knees to chest.
Yes. You need to give like when you're crossing the crosswalk, like you give a little like you're putting in some effort to it, but you're really not. It's just for show. So this woman gets up to the deal and then starts like to argue with the husband about whatever, like they could not find. Followed by she getting her checkbook out and then writing a check for her groceries and filling the entire check out. Hello, people. It's 2019. Just give them the check. They print it and then give it right back to you. Tara, I hate that.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I think that's appropriate.
So frustrating. It should be a cash, debit, or credit card scenario at the grocery store.
Maybe in 2020.
Maybe so.
Maybe so. All right, you guys. This has been a year in review.
Tara, can I just, before you wrap up.
Yes.
Can I tell you that being that this is our last show, I want to wish you and your entire family like a very prosperous 2020. You guys have so much going on and it's going to be an amazing year for y'all.
Oh, you're going to make me cry on the pod. 2020 is, for those of you who know us, you know, well, you know that 2020 is actually the end of what has been a really long road getting Chris through medical school, and I cannot believe it's about to be over. I'm going to be so happy when it is, but I say all the time, I say this to Matt and to Hubba and, you know, pretty much anyone who will listen. We could never have done this alone. I mean, without your village of people, it is impossible to get through a process like this. And so knowing we're starting this new chapter surrounded by all the same people we have had through it feels like one of the biggest accomplishments.
Well, it is, because so many people have their version of medical school going on right now. They have their version of it, whatever that is in their life.
Absolutely.
And you need people around you to help with help get to that point, whatever that is for you.
Absolutely.
And so anyway.
Well, since you did me like that, I have a meme I really want to read. And it says, stats show that the average person has sex 89 times a year. Looks like I'm in store for a wild December.
Just remember, we may sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Deeply Shallow Podcast. And like Deeply Shallow Podcast on Facebook.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience, but I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy.
Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, P-O-D-I-G-Y.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.